I like the burn stuff. So as Sherry mentioned about the burning, the title of the message is one of the words is barn burning. And I did some research. I thought, where'd that term, you ever hear a term and you go, where'd that come from? I did some interesting research. There was actually a group here in the Northeast. They were called barn burners. And typically, it was people who burned their barns to get rid of rat infestations. I thought, okay, there's got to be a better way to get rid of rats than burn your barn. But then there was a group, it was a political group, and they were called barn burners, and they were like set up against this other political group, and I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. So anyway, hey, welcome to 2018, everybody. How are we doing? Everybody staying warm this week? Ish? Warm-ish? It's been a cold week. It's been kind of funny, the number of people who have said, you know, Pastor, New England isn't normally this cold for this long. And I just said, uh-huh. It reminds me of when I was a kid growing up in the south side of Chicago. You heard me share last week in 1979 where it snowed. We had that big storm that came through the other day. And so I was talking to Jackson. He said, Dad, so when you were a kid in Chicago, was it like that? I said, Jackson, it was like that for 3 days in a row. And he said, that's a lot of snow. And I said, yeah, it was a lot of snow. And then it dropped below zero. And I'm looking forward to being warmer this week in the 20s and hopefully 30s. And so that'll be time to break out the shorts and flip-flops. All right. Well, hey, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3. While you're turning there, I want to share just a little bit from last week. Last week's message was press in, press on, press up, press out. And it was really interesting because as I was speaking first service, the Holy Spirit began speaking to me, and then second service. Because I've been praying, saying, Lord, what is the direction? Where do you want us to go for 2018? What is your vision for where you see Laconia Foursquare headed this year? And the Holy Spirit began to very clearly say, this is your theme for next year. Press in, press up, press on, press out. And I thought, well, that's really kind of different. I've never heard anything like that before, and I'm looking forward to unpacking that over the next several weeks. So these next two or three, 4 weeks will be foundational for where we're going in 2018. And so I am thrilled to see what God has for us. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at reading the Word and journaling. And so you might be going, oh man, it's going to be one of those messages. Well, hopefully it's not one of those messages. Hopefully it's one of those messages.
Amen.
So why you got your finger there? Hey, did you guys hear about the couple who sent their kid to UNH? No? Okay, well, I'll tell you. I didn't think you did. It's kind of quiet, so I figured you didn't hear about the kid who went to UNH. So when he left, his parents gave him a Bible and told him to read it carefully because it'd be very helpful. So after a few weeks of school, the son texted his parents and told him that he needed a little bit of money. And so the parents texted him back, and they said, read John 3:16. So after a while, he texted his parents back and said, okay, I read that, now what about the money? His parents texted back, OMG, you are not telling the truth, because between every page that has one of our favorite verses, there's a $100 bill. Now I'll be the first one to tell you, I wish the Bible came filled with $100 bills, but it doesn't. But how many know that the Word of God is full of treasure for everyday life, amen? So the title of today's message is Page Turners, Barn Burners, and Basic Instructions. Page Turners, Barn Burners, and Basic Instructions. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads this way. We've got it up on the screen as well. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Say that with me. Say, every good work.
Every good work.
Lord, thank you that you want us to be equipped, and you've given us the way to do it. So, Lord, as we get into your word today, we thank you, Jesus, that these words will come off of the pages and into our hearts, that information will lead to transformation because of your inspiration. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I was encouraged by my youth pastor to bring my Bible to school, to be bold and take a stand for Christ. Now, for me, that was a big deal because I was the shyest kid on the planet. I talked to my immediate family. Yeah, you're sitting there probably thinking, you were shy? Really? Come on. That was your evil twin brother, right? I wouldn't talk to like aunts and uncles who I hadn't seen for a long time. I was that shy. It was just kind of like, I was fine talking to mom and dad and my brothers. But my junior year of high school, I discovered that there was a shell to come out of, and I was like, wow, I like people. And then it's been downhill ever since. So my sophomore year in high school, I remember sitting in my youth group and our youth pastor challenging us kids to bring our Bible to school. Now, I went to public high school, and my school that I went to was a pretty rough place, so much so that when I was in eighth grade, I remember asking mom and dad, I said, okay, is high school required? Like, is it like college where it's optional, where I don't really have to go to high school? And they said, no, Tim, you're going to high school. And so I remember sitting in my class when I was a sophomore, and one of my favorite teachers was Mr. Sadis. And we learned about world history and current events, things that were happening in the world right now. And I was sitting in Mr. Sadis' class, and we were talking about something, and something about American history or what's happening in the world. And I remember I had my Bible sitting on top of my books, on top of my desk in Mr. Sadis' classroom. And a friend of mine who was not sitting like here where the communion table was, but like over to the left and one behind me, he leans up to me and he goes, and he sees my Bible and he goes, damn, the Bible's boring. And I had one of those moments where shy Tim was like, oh, Jesus, help me. What do I say? What do I do? Because I'm like, okay, now I'm confronted with the possibility of having to talk to somebody about the Lord in high school. And I'm trying to be cool wearing my hand-me-down clothes. And so I leaned back to him and I said, well, you must not be reading the same Bible that I read because the Bible I read is not boring. And he said, what? This was kind of like, you know, we were all kind of talking about a bunch of stuff in class at this point. So I wasn't like, you know, being a bad student, stop talking in class, Tim, thing. Well, eventually my friend came to church with me, and eventually, after coming several times, he made a commitment to Christ. When I was like, wow, I'm really glad I brought my Bible to school. That really kind of helped me out. But see, what I told my friend was, I said, there's murder in the Bible, and there's battles in the Bible, and there's love stories in the Bible. It's a page-turner. And he was like, really? I said, really? You should really try read it. And I gave him something to read. I don't remember where the passage was. But I said, you ought to try reading wherever it was. And that led him on the path where he made a commitment to Christ. See, the Bible, God's word, is a page turner. Is every page exciting? Not every page is exciting. Right? How many times have you read the Bible and go, well, Lord, I got nothing out of that? There's been times I read, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But God's word is a page turner because it is God's word to us today. So let's go and jump right in. Number one, I want to talk about today. Reading God's word helps us get to know God. You ever meet somebody that has asked this question? I wonder what my purpose in life is. You may have asked that question yourself. Rick Warren wrote a book a number of years back, and the very first chapter is titled, What on Earth Am I Here For? What a great question to ask. What on earth are we here for? Young people ask it. I know people who are older in life still ask it. Every now and then, I still ask it. But see, reading God's word helps us to know God. In a Gallup poll in June 2016, 89% of Americans said they believe God. Now, that sounds pretty good, huh? 89%. That's almost 9 in every 10 people, right? Not a bad stat. Here's what's interesting. The first time Gallup asked that question was in 1944. Want to know what the percentage was in 1944? 96. You were here last service. David's got the inside track. I sent him a copy of my notes. 96% of Americans said they believed in God in 1944. There's been a little bit of a slide in the past couple decades, hasn't there? We got some work to do. Now, can I tell you this? It's one thing to believe in God, but there is a difference between believing God and knowing God. Amen. There's a difference between believing in God and knowing God. See, the book of James says this. It says, okay, it's great if you say you believe in God. Guess what? the demons believe too. But then he says this, but the demons tremble. See, I want to get to know God so well that when I wake up in the morning that the demons start trembling, they go, oh, dear God, Versalono's awake. Amen. We're in trouble. Right? But if I want to get to know who God is, I need to get to know who God is. It's great when we pray. It's great when we sing songs of worship. But it's great to know the God that we're singing to. It's great to know the God that we're singing about. Right? Amen? Amen. See, how you get to know God is you get into God's Word. See, the Bible tells us, we just read it a few minutes ago, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I've met a lot of people over the years who question the authority of God's Word because they say, well, the Bible was written by men, and men are flawed, and so if it's God's Word, how can you expect it to be 100% accurate? Because God is 100% accurate, and the Bible tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. Everything written in this book, God breathed it. He had to breathe through somebody. He had to write through somebody, right? He used people to do it. And see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let me ask this question. How many times have you read something? I mentioned this a minute ago. How many times have you read something and you go, I that didn't make any sense? And then in typical form, what usually happens? We just either kind of park there for a minute, and then if we still get nothing on it, what do? We just keep on reading or we move on, right? Now, I'll be honest with you. This happens to me, and I just go sometimes, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? I'm not getting what I'm reading here. Can I offer a suggestion? And it works. There's been many times where I've read the Word, and I say, Holy Spirit, your Word says that all Scripture is inspired by God. Everything written in this book, you wrote. So help me understand what it is that you're trying to tell me. Can I tell you? There have been many, 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 many countless times where all of a sudden I go, oh, that makes sense. But I've got to stop and slow down for a minute. See, what happens? We get on the highway and it's get from here to there. We just go fast. And we think, okay, I'm going to read God's Word, and we go fast. And sometimes God says, hang on a second. I want to share something with you. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. See, but I want to tell you, if you say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to communicate with me today? My guess is that he'll start communicating with you. Amen. And you'll start to understand, oh, that makes sense. Or maybe it's a passage that you've gotten a lot out of, and you're reading it this next time, and you go, oh, I never saw that before. That's the Holy Spirit making God's Word real to you, and you getting to know God that much more. See, you'll be glad that you asked the Holy Spirit to explain that to you, especially when what didn't make much sense all of a sudden comes to life. Because then you look back and go, I remember when I read this for the first time and I went, huh? But now here I am and the Lord helped me understand this. See, remember that we have a hard time understanding spiritual things with our natural mind anyway. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says this, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually, how? Spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Now jump down to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Now, let me just tell you what that means. Just last night, JJ and I were sitting down talking through some things, and there's some things in my mind that I've got to allow God to transform. Because as old as I am in the Lord, there's still things that battle my flesh. There's still things that battle in my spirit. There's things that I'm pressing through that I'm saying, Lord, I have got to get the mind of Christ on this. Amen. Right? Because there's a battlefield that happens right here. See, let me tell you about this one scripture. Have you ever read a passage in the book of Hebrews? It sounds like this. It says, If you sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. This is a passage of Scripture, I'll be honest with you, I've wrestled with this one for years and years and years. Because when I first read that, when I first read that passage, I was reading it and I went, whoa. And I thought to myself, Lord, are you telling me that if I make the choice to sin, and I know I shouldn't make a choice to sin, but I still make the choice to sin, that there is not sacrifice for that sin that I just committed? That's what the Word says. That is one of those passages that I can't tell you how many times that I go, Holy Spirit, help me. Because if that's the case, I'm in big trouble. And I have no business being up here telling anybody anything. You hear me? Make sense? See, there's things that we read in the Word that are hard things to hear that God says, okay, if you want to get to know me, you've got to get to know what the Word of God says about me. Because when we know God's Word, we know God. Now, I'm not going to preach a message on that because some of you are going, yeah, what does that mean? I'll just let you kind of think about that one for a while. Just kind of stew on that one and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and He'll speak to you. Number two, who feels encouraged? Good news, God loves us, then sings my soul. Amen. How great His love is. Yes. That even when we still sin, He still says, come on home. Number two, reading God's Word gives us instruction, which brings us transformation. Reading God's Word gives us instruction, which brings us transformation. I know a lot of Bible teachers who are way better than me. They do an awesome job, and I enjoy hearing them teach. But if I want to get information, I can read information all by myself. I mean, it's easy. I like reading. I enjoy reading John Crichton books. But none of John Crichton's work is inspired, even though people may say, that's inspired. Well, it's not this inspired. Amen. I enjoy Timeline is a great book, and Prey, and any Jurassic Park, you know, it's not the like, it's dinosaurs and prehistoric stuff and people getting munched by animals that we thought were long dead, but it's not inspired. See, it's just information that makes me feel good. But reading God's Word gives us instruction, which brings us transformation because of inspiration. Let me say that again. Reading God's Word gives us instruction, which brings transformation because of inspiration. God's Word is inspired. Now, the NIV talks about 2 Timothy 3:16 this way. It says, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's four of the things that God's Word is good for. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I want to take a minute and talk about the four of these here. Number one, teaching. Here's what teaching is. Teaching is what is actively being taught to actively shape us. What is actively being taught to actively shape us. Now, I am actively up here teaching right now, right? I'm not sitting in my chair with my hands folded and we're not just quietly looking at the Word, kind of figuring things out on our own. I am actively teaching you, and the Holy Spirit right now is actively teaching us. He's actively teaching us, and that's what this is talking about here. It's active. Teaching is happening all the time. We should always be learning something new, right? Amen. The second thing we want to talk about, rebuking. Here's what rebuking is. It's used to expose the error. Watch this. How? In love. Rebuking is used to expose the error in love and then reveal the truth in love in order to have proper understanding. Now, when I was in Bible college, it was kind of funny. You know, we'd joke around and stuff, but people would say, I'm about to rebuke you. I'm going to rebuke you. If you don't get this, I'm going to rebuke you. And we kind of joke around with it. But what happens is if we have a misunderstanding of what rebuking really is, we can look at rebuke moments as those, aha, I got you. And our God is a God of love. And He's not just wanting to go, Jason, I saw you didn't read the Bible yesterday. I got you. Don't you know you should read the Bible every day? Come on, you're a worship leader. You should know this, Jason. You're glad the Lord doesn't do that, right? I'm glad the Lord doesn't do that because He would say, Tim, that passage in Hebrews, just open up your brain a little bit more and I'll tell you what it is. But see, a proper rebuke, even looking at Nathan the prophet, when you read about Remember David and Bathsheba and the sin of the whole nine? Even when Nathan came and told David, thou art the man, it wasn't, aha, you're the guy. It was used to cause David to repent, which is exactly what happened, isn't it? Yeah. See, when there is a rebuke, it is used to expose the error in love, because not all of us have it all figured out, do we? I don't have it all figured out. And when people come up that I know and I trust and I love and they say, Tim, have you thought about it this way? It's like, oh, I never thought about it. But then comes the next part. Not just, go ahead and go back one more, please. Expose the error in love and then reveal the truth in love. How many have heard the phrase, hey, I'm just speaking the truth? And see, all too often, people can get on a high horse and they go, hey, here's what that phrase means. It means they're looking down at you. Hey, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. Well, the Bible tells us to speak the truth, but speak it in love. Because if you're not speaking the truth in love, then you're just spouting an opinion, no matter how true you think you are. And you're putting yourself in a position of lording yourself over somebody. That's why when, you might think I'm kind of goofy here. When my kids were little, we never let them say shut up to each other. We didn't say shut up in our house. And here's the reason why. Are you ready for this? I heard somebody say it one time, and the Holy Spirit said, don't you ever tell your kids to shut up. And I said, okay. And I said, why? Help me out with this. Because it just sounds like a dad being overprotective, you know, wanting the kids to. And I said, guys, here's why I don't want to hear you say shut up to each other. Because when you say shut up, what you're essentially doing is you're putting yourself in a place of lordship over your brother or your sister and saying, I'm better than you, and what you're saying is not important as what I have to say, so you need to listen to me. People would be like, well, that's kind of harsh. Well, have you ever been at the receiving end of somebody saying, shut up? How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel great, or does it make you feel a lot like this? See, and when people come up and say, well, I'm just speaking the truth, are you speaking the truth, or are you just spouting an opinion? Because if it's not spoken in love, then I would question the motive. But if it is spoken in love, then that's a proper rebuke. Because if it brings that change of heart, if it brings that life that goes, oh, I never saw that before. Thank you for that rebuke. That's a proper rebuke, and that's what God's word is used for. It's not about thumping people on the head and saying, come on, dummy, get it right. Because God never says, come on, dummy, get it right. Last time I checked, he doesn't do that. And thank God he doesn't, because there's plenty of times he could thump me on the head. Get it right, Versalono. So teaching, rebuking. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Okay, correcting. Literally, a restoration to an upright or right state. Correcting is literally a restoration to an upright or right state. This is referring to improvement of life and character. That sounds pretty good. Have you ever driven down the road and seen a barn that's got a slight lean to it? Or a structure that's got a little bit of a tilt to it? When I was a kid growing up in Illinois, we'd go down to Grandma's and we'd had to drive through a lot of farmland from where we lived. And I remember there were a couple places, and I just remember thinking, man, those barns look like just a big gust of wind could just knock them right over. And correcting, this is talking about literally restoring to an upright or right state. See, God wants us in right standing with him. And how many know that sometimes we let sin in our life, unforgiveness, whatever it might be, and our life can start to have a little bit of a tilt to it, and God wants to bring us back to a correct, upright state. Amen. God's word is also good for training. This refers to the complete raising of children. Now, before you think, wait a minute, hang on a second, I'm not a child. Can I ask this question? Do you know everything? Do I know everything? You ever been around somebody who they just know everything about everything? I hear some laughter. My father-in-law is like this. It's like, Dad knows everything about everything. And there's a lot of times I'll say, I need to ask a question to somebody who knows a whole lot more than me, and I'll often call him and say, Dad, what do you think about this? Especially with things of like theology or things in the Word, because he just knows everything about everything. Here's how much he knows. He could tell you who won the 1952 World Series and who played first base, second base, third base, how many hits they got, how many outs they had, what the weather was, and I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm lucky if I wake up in the morning and go, my name is Tim. My last name is spelled V-E-R-C-E, and if I make it all the way to the end, I'm doing all right. But see, the Bible talks about the complete raising of children. There are people that God has put into our lives who know a whole lot more than we do, and God has put you into people's lives because you might know a whole lot more than other people do about other subjects, right? Because we don't know everything about everything, even though sometimes we get around people who do. And see, in perspective, I can learn from people who know a whole lot more than me, so which kind of makes me think, you know, I really might not be as mature as I think I am. Right? I really might not be as mature as I think I am. I'd like to think that I'm pretty mature, but sometimes I'm just a dummy. Sometimes I just need help. I'm not calling myself a dummy. Sometimes I feel like it. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes I need somebody to say, Tim, let me help you out here a little bit. But we've got to be willing to ask. Right? Amen. See, let me talk to parents for just a minute. Moms and dads, it's your responsibility to train your kids. As parents, it is our responsibility to train our kids. That's what Proverbs 22:6 talks about, right? Train up a child in the way they should go, so on and so forth. See, there... I can't tell you how many parents, let me just come over here real quick. Let me come out from behind my Bible and stand right here just in case lightning strikes over here. I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to over the years that say, you know, well, when my kids get to where they're mature enough, I'm going to let them make the decision of what religion they want to be. And I want to go, there's been a lot of times I say, wait, what? You what? Well, I just, you know, when they become an adult, I want them to, you know what they want to do and know what, I want them to believe what they want to believe. Can I just tell you right now? I expect all three of my kids to have made Jesus the Lord of their life, which they have. I expect all three of my kids to love Jesus so much that by the time they get to my age and they're turning 50 in 2 years, that they make it look like I don't know what I was doing when I came to follow Jesus. I want my kids to love the Lord so much that I have no question that when they start raising their kids, they're going to raise their kids to do what the Word of God says to do, to be the people of God that God has made them to be. I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to that have said, well, my kid became a Buddhist, or my kid became this, or my kid became that, or they came. Well, what was the expectation that you put on your kids? I'm not trying to tell you to ram it down their throat. When it was time to go to church, guess where the Versalonos were? The Versalonos were in church. When Tim was a caddy, at 15 years old and wanted to go out and caddy for the golf tournament, man, I begged my dad, oh, Dad, I can make so much money. And my dad finally caved and gave in, and I made like $18. It was a terrible Sunday. I was like a top A caddy, and I'm losing golf balls, and I'm giving my golfer the wrong clubs. And he's like, Tim, I thought you did, and I had caddied for this guy before, and he shafted me. I got the, because I'm shafting him. Where should I have been? I should have been in church. I knew better, and Dad was like, okay. You want to learn? You go ahead and learn, Tim. See, parents, moms, and dads, it pays off when you are consistent with your kids. Is it hard sometimes? Heck yeah, it's hard sometimes. Do you want to throw your kids through the wall sometimes? Absolutely. Are there times my kids want to throw me through the wall? Absolutely. But see, God's Word gives us instruction which brings transformation. I want my kids' lives to not just have information, but I want their lives to be transformed because of the inspiration of the Word of God in their lives. Amen, amen, parents? Amen. Number three. Lightning didn't strike. Whew, I'm doing okay. Journaling deepens our relationship with God. Journaling deepens our relationship with God. Now, I don't really journal every day. I wish I journaled every day. But journaling, like Bible reading and prayer and going to church and giving tithe and offering or doing anything in life that is worth anything, requires discipline, doesn't it? My goal when I first got this journal in 2013 was to fill it up by the end of the year. I'm about halfway done, and I'm one of those guys who is a box checker. I like checking boxes when I've accomplished things. And there's something inside of me that says, oh, I can't wait to get to the end of my journal. So I can go, I did it, done. But can I tell you, it's more about hearing what God is saying to you through the process. Amen. Let's talk about this for a minute. At its most basic, journaling is simply writing down what the Holy Spirit whispers to you as you read through Scripture. Let me say that one more time. At its most basic, journaling is simply writing down what the Holy Spirit whispers to you as you read through Scripture. There's really no rules or requirements. I don't have to check off the boxes. That's just me. That's how I'm wired. I'm a box checker. I like doing that. See, there's many ways to journal. There's Bibles that have wide margins, so you can write a lot in the side of your Bible, which is great. You can do it with a journal. I know we've got journals at the Info Hub. We need to order some more journals. You can do it digitally. There's all sorts of ways. You can do it with a notebook. You can do it on your iPad, on your phone. Soap is an easy method that was developed by a pastor named Wayne Cordero a number of years ago. He's a Foursquare guy. And soap is simply this. You ready? S stands for Scripture. O, observation. A, application. P, prayer. Let's all say that together. Say Scripture, observation, application, prayer. So we're soaping in the Word. So this works for me. If you have a way that works for you, I'm not telling you switch. You do what works for you. You know how the Lord speaks to you. But if you don't have a system, I want to submit this to you. This is a great way to get into God's Word. Here's how it works. So Scripture, you're taking some time. We're going to do this in just a few minutes. On the back of the bulletin, you'll notice note pages, which you've probably been taking notes on through the course of the message today. We're going to take a minute, and we're going to read towards the end of the message here this passage from Timothy that we've been looking at. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? Not just the things that I've heard you say. It may be things that you've heard during the message today. But as you take time and read, there's a scripture. Here, I'll just give an example. We were journaling the other day at home on January 1st, which maybe a lot of people were because, you know, January 1st is a good day to get nice, fresh, clean starts. And so JJ and I and the kids were at home. And oftentimes, it's just one passage of Scripture. Sometimes it's a lot of passages of Scripture. Sometimes it's just a portion, like four or five words where the Holy Spirit, I'll be reading it, and it's just like, whammo! Oh, I never saw that before. And I just start writing what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say. So here's one from January 1st. It's called Know Jesus, No Sin. Now, Know Jesus is K-N-O-W, Jesus. And then No Sin is N-O. So if I know Jesus, then there should be no sin. And I like titling things because I'm a preacher, and preachers like to title things and make things rhyme. Hard burners, page turners, basic instructions. So here we go. 1 John chapter 3 is the passage that all five of us were reading in at home. And here's what I got. For we shall see him as he is. This is from verse 2, then a little bit of verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Then in verse 6, the first part of verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. And then down to verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the scripture that the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. Here is my observation. One day, we will see Jesus as he intends us to see him, clearly and without any obstruction. Because of this, I need to purify myself. This has a great work in me. I won't sin. Here's what I wrote down. Really? I mean, think about it. I won't sin. Really? I won't sin? That's what the Word says. I believe this is because I'll be becoming more like Jesus, that I won't want to sin. Amen. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil in my life, in the world, so I don't have to sin and can know him more. Here's my application. This is one of those passages I need to wrap my head and heart around. I don't have to sin. What makes sin less enticing and seemingly fulfilling is that I will see Jesus as I abide in him. So as I make the choice to draw closer to Jesus, I move farther away from sin and the desire to sin. Here's my prayer. You ready for this amazing, earth-shattering, life-changing, long prayer? Lord, help me draw so close to you that sin gets pushed out of my life in every area. Amen. See, when we come to the Lord, when we get into God's Word, we're getting to know God, and he begins to transform us. And see, what happens is we live in a society that is moving at a breakneck pace, don't we? It's busy, busy, go, go, all the time, go, go. Now, I will tell you this. I, and you've heard me say it before, I am loving living in New Hampshire. the pace of life for my family has become much slower than it was in July and before. Where we lived before, it was astronomically fast. And I just thought, dear Lord, can somebody just let me off this ride? So for as slow as it still feels, the Bible still, I still need to slow down so I can hear what God is saying out of his word. Amen. Because there's still plenty of stuff to do, right? There's kids to parent. There's meals to cook. There's snow to shovel or blow if you have a snowblower. There's things to go. There's jobs to do. There's all sorts of stuff happening that's trying to pull at us. And see, what journaling does is it slows us down. It's like hitting a divine brake pedal in our life. Amen. When you take the time and you read that passage that doesn't make sense and you say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Will you speak to me and help this make sense? And then you go back and read it again. And then maybe you go back and read it a third time. Maybe you go back and read it a 17th time. And finally it's like, oh. And then you start to write in journal and say, okay, now, Lord, what are you trying to tell me through this? Then you write down what your observation is. Then you write down, okay, now, how does this apply to me? Because the Lord's obviously sharing something with us for a reason, right? How does this apply to me? Then you pray, Lord, a majority of my prayers, I was sharing with somebody, a majority of my prayers started here, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me too, Lord, help me be. We all need the Lord's help. Yes, see, I've done some journaling. We do men's journaling every Wednesday and Friday morning. And last service, I was kind of joking around a little bit. I've journaled some with Chris Mogi, and I like to write things down. For me, I'm just still kind of old school. Well, Chris, he likes to do it in his phone. I've done some journaling with Kevin Panette. Kevin is like a journaling machine. And if you need to learn how to journal, hang out with Kevin for like a day. Because we'll sit down Wednesday mornings, and by the time I'm getting done with one page, he's like in the middle of page two, and I'm just going, man, you need to like preach at church or something, because you're getting way more out of the word than apparently I am. We all journal different ways. Now, for me, I don't journal. I tried doing it digitally. It was okay. But for me, there's something about seeing the ink flow out of my pen going onto a piece of paper. And secondly, I like the fact that one day I'll be able to hand this to my kids. And they'll be able to look and see the verses that have been underlined in my Bible that stood out to me where the Lord spoke to me. They'll be able to turn and see where the highlighter has ran through some of the staining of the pages. They'll be able to see and read and hear what the Lord spoke to their dad on March the 6th, 2015. They'll be able to look back at this and see what the Lord spoke to me on February the 8th, 2014. They'll be able to look back at this and see what is God speaking to my dad, and the Holy Spirit just might speak to my kids. See, as we're on this journey in 2018, God is calling us to press in, to press up, to press on, and press out. And I'm excited to see what that looks like throughout the rest of this year. I just want to ask you for just a moment, just close your eyes. And Jason's going to come up in just a moment. He's going to start playing on his guitar. Oftentimes when I journal, and like I said, I'm not the greatest at it, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I like to get in a relatively quiet place because I want to hear the Lord speak to me. Oftentimes what I do, I was sharing with Jason last service, oftentimes I'll just put on something instrumental. Because I find if I put on praise and worship, I'm done. I just start worshiping the Lord because I just love to worship the Lord. But I'll put on something that's instrumental, that's nice. Might be piano, might be full instrumentation, might be orchestra, might be Bach, Brahms, Mozart, anything, jazz. And I just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? We're going to take a moment. And on the back side of the bulletin there, there's the message. And we're going to take a minute, and we're going to journal what you're hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to you out of this passage in Timothy. Before we do that, though, I want to ask, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, start off 2018 by making that decision to be a follower of Christ. You say, Pastor, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to invite Jesus in. I want 2018 to be the year that I do things right. The way to do things right is by putting Jesus first. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we're about to spend a little more time in your word, speak, Holy Spirit. Our ears are open. Our hearts are receptive in Jesus' name. If you need a pen, just go ahead and hold your hand up and usher can get you a pen. If you need a bulletin with the notes on the